But now we're going to the Ukraine now, where the government and the US have accused Moscow of fomenting unrest in eastern Ukraine to create a pretext for another Russian military incursion similar to the takeover of Crimea last month. Up to 40,000 Russian troops are massed along the Ukrainian border, according to NATO. Within the country, pro-Russian separatists have been seizing and occupying key buildings. Facing the prospect of the slow disintegration of the country, the Ukraine government has promised action against separatists. On the line now, Edward Lucas, a senior editor at The Economist newspaper with extensive experience of reporting on Russia and Eastern Europe. Good morning to you, Edward.
Good morning.
Now, I see in an effort to perhaps defuse the situation, there is a promise from the acting president in Ukraine that they will not prosecute pro-Russian activists occupying official buildings in those two eastern cities if they surrender their weapons. So might this be the start of the crisis being defused, at least for now?
Well, I think it takes two to tango, and I think the Ukrainians have behaved with incredible restraint, actually, so far. We've obviously seen the Russian occupation of Crimea, where the Ukrainian troops stayed in their barracks and didn't resist as the country was basically invaded under their noses. And the Ukrainian authorities, in all sorts of ways, I think, have been trying to calm things down. But I think that the trouble is that Russia is actively engaged in trying to destabilize Ukraine, and whether it's by having the troops massed on the borders or by having this extraordinary propaganda offensive going on both at home and abroad, or the subversion and dirty tricks we see inside Ukraine, it's a really pretty full court press, as the Americans would say. And I'm not sure that the Ukrainian effort to defuse the situation are going to work.
Do you believe, Edward, that Russia is using incentives, as it did perhaps in Crimea, promising higher pensions, for instance, to stoke up this secessionist sentiment?
Well, I think that Russia is playing a pretty sophisticated game, really, that they talk peace and demand that the West de-escalates while at the same time stoking things up themselves. And I think that in a way the fact that the troops haven't moved is a very clever bit of camouflage, because people are saying, Russia hasn't invaded, that's good. Well, it's true they haven't invaded, but there's all sorts of other stuff that's going on which is bad. And the paradox, of course, in this is it's in Russia's interest for Ukraine to be a stable, prosperous neighbor. It would be good for Russia if Ukraine was a happy, well-run country, and yet everything they're doing is trying to make it into a failed state.
And what about President Putin's assurances that there is no plan to invade or to take his troops into eastern Ukraine?
Well, I think he says that, but he said things in the past that have turned out not to be true. And I think that this demand for federalization of Ukraine is actually a demand for partition. And we see pro-Russian activists, some of them coming in from outside, some of them the local, turning up and saying they want to be occupying the local government buildings, declaring independent republics, saying that they want a referendum on their future status. And so it's going to be quite easy, if the Russians want it, to say, well, these people are asking us to come in and we have to send peacekeepers in to prevent chaos and so on. So I think that one has to be very careful about looking at the Kremlin's words and comparing them with the Kremlin's deeds.
And do you think this is the strategy then to promote the idea of federation long term?
Yes, I mean, I think that the sort of strong propaganda message in Russia is it's time to gather together the Russian lands, and this is a feeling that there's all sorts of chunks of other countries that basically belong to Russia. And the Mr. Putin's historic mission is to sort of bring them back into the fold, whether that's bits of Georgia or bits of Ukraine or possibly even bits of the Baltic states or bits of northern Kazakhstan. There's a feeling of sort of historical destiny here, that these places were taken away from Russia by a very unfair twist of history back in the 1990s when the Soviet Union collapsed, and now it's time to get them back again. Of course, the trouble is that these bits of land, although Russia may have a historical claim on them, actually belong to other countries if you want to keep them. And that's why I'm extremely worried about this escalating, bringing us to the edge of a third world war, possibly.
You see it as in such stark terms, do you, Edward?
Absolutely. And I think there's a real problem here that the Baltic states are members of NATO, and rightly so. Thank goodness they joined when they did. It'd be very difficult if they weren't. and they don't want to be part of Russia. They don't want any bit of them to be part of Russia. They want to stay as they are, successful Western countries. And if Russia starts reads our inactivity and weakness on Ukraine as giving a green light to do the same thing in the Baltic states, then we're going to get into a military confrontation between NATO and Russia.
But at what point do you think that NATO might move militarily against what the Russians are doing? Do you think the red line would be to go into eastern Ukraine, or would they wait until maybe the Baltics were attacked?
I don't think NATO can do anything on Ukraine. It's not an article, it's not a member of NATO, it's not covered by Article 5. But the Baltics are different. But my worry is that by showing weakness on Ukraine, on things like economic sanctions and visa sanctions and things we should be doing to deter Putin on Ukraine, he gets the impression that we're basically weak and that he's got a chance of calling our bluff in the Baltics, and we could have a kind of Baltic missile crisis blowing up very quickly, where we belatedly start reinforcing the Baltics. The Russians say it's unacceptable, or they start putting more weapons into the Baltic region, and we demand that they stop. And these things can spiral out of control very quickly.
Edward, thank you very much indeed for joining us. That's Edward Lucas. He is senior editor with The Economist.